God is a spirit, and those that must worship him in spirit and in truth. God has commissioned his servant, Pastor Toluwalugu Adeola, with the mandate of true worship, teaching the church the patterns of true worship. Be blessed as you listen.
Jesus himself, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. We are in a season where heaven is waiting upon the, we say we are waiting on God, say that's what you say. It's God that is waiting on us. It's God that is waiting on us. There is an urgency in heaven for God to come. But he's waiting on men who will complete that circuitry so that the light can come up. That's what God is waiting for. And one of the givings or giftings or releases that heaven releases in advance so that men can come into that preparation is the spirit of grace and supplication. Because when men receive it, they begin to pray. And then in prayer, the sights that come is not a cow, a house. The sights that come is not a church full of people. Only one entity is seen when that release comes. And it is not Jesus sitting on the throne. It is Jesus who was pierced. The church suddenly comes to the consciousness of how indebted they are to the one who was pierced for them. And then they shall begin to mourn because of their depravity. Can we ask for an outpouring of the spirit of grace and supplication? We make a demand for a city-wide outpouring. We make a demand for the outpouring of the spirit of grace and supplication. We make a demand that there be a renewed awakening to prayer, to prayer, to prayer. Ya paras shada ta 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 la ta la ta ya la ba ta la ba ya la rosa mo kota beto 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 yo kota ba ta ka ta ka ta la la to la la ra ba ta ba ta ba ta ya po 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 la lo la rosa ete me pe pe ke ga ta sa pa ko ya to Yeah. Let there be a supply to facilitate much prayer, much prayer, much prayer, much prayer, much prayer. Much prayer, a praying generation rises. Ayala Rebo
palalola lomo popolako rabom bam bam balagakosa shadavala dabadagadebe popelato kepele kota bababaga rado dozolo ego bolo the outpouring of the spirit of grace and supplication that your church in the borders of this city will lift up your eyes to look upon him that was pierced, and they shall mourn. Yadomoke manabataka. Let the sons of mourning arise. Anamino menekapa. Ide duate kwata barbuo kwaroko twa duaka twakapa. Yebe beble temble konope kotopo papo kotopata. Bable dua do kaka. Barada bambande de pedekete. Atete kwate. Lede kamana mana mana ma. Shata batata. Ie pepe tedata. Ie babatata pela. Blekote. Baladote. Barada kakiaka. Obo bo. Lede pes. Shakata pala. Ie papera dabaya. We cry to precipitate the revival. Idamite kedebe kedeberata. We have come because you invited us. Ah, let a generation be enabled for much prayer. Let a generation be enabled for much prayer. For much prayer. For much prayer. For much prayer. Yabate, ekap rapa, ekapa prata, eprekete bebeka, ebede bedede bedea, ekoko pakota, 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 popla plalwa lahatash. Edo mede bedoate, kiba kanda bahaso. Oh, we give you praise now. We give you praise now. Vamos, Shalaba.
How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great. How great thou. How great, how great, how great thou art. How great thou art. How great, how great thou. One more time. How great thou art.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Please be seated if you can. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Oh, my Father, for giving us your Son in even your Spirit, you. There's a work, your work on earth is done. Thank you, oh my Father. Thank you. Forgive us, Lord. You're giving us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You are blessed. Oh, Holy Spirit. Your work, your work.
Two more times. Can we give him praise? Thank you. We thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, oh my God.
Shana mata deke de beraha. Forgiving, you're giving us your soul. Oh, receiving your spirit, your work on earth. One more time, Father, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your soul.
We thank you, Lord, your blood, your Holy Spirit. You have left your Holy Spirit here, your word on earth is done. Father, tonight we receive your word with thanksgiving. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. If you can, please welcome your neighbor. It's good to see your faces again. Thank you for coming around, for deciding not to go home. I bring you greetings from my spiritual father, Apostle Aaron, and Reverend Austin. They're excited. Apostle said to me on Friday night, he said, Tolu, God has given you that city. He says, so when you get back to Mosho, tell the house that they have acquired responsibility in God to make that city what they will. So if you want to start playing football, we can make this city a football city. But my choice in God is to make it a prayer city. That there will be a template of revival that will be taken out of here. I was in Ibadan yesterday night and was a lot of prayers, a lot of impartations. I couldn't preach my notes because the Lord told me, this is going to be too complex. So we had to drop the curriculum. But God still reached out to his people. I want you to keep praying for us. I'll be in Ilorin tomorrow for the Equa Students Ministries, University of Ilorin Prayer Conference. As tomorrow and Tuesday, I'll be back, and then I will join Apostle on Friday for the JCCF, University of Ilorin Crusade. I'll be ministering on Friday night, and then he'll be ministering up to Sunday. So I want you to keep us in prayers. One of the things we believe that God is doing in this season is that there is a reawakening to revival, but it will not begin with the discussions of revival. It will begin with a baptism of prayer. We are praying now, but a time will come where we'll be immersed into it. It's beginning to happen a little in my life that even when I sit down and want to be idle, I still pray. And you see, that last song that I took is so awesome, because as we are praying right now, it came to my mind that how would we have been able to partner with what God was doing in the earth realm if we were not afforded a facility in God like praying in tongues? How do we use human words to partner effectively with the Spirit? Man, our inadequacy will have been too large. So when the Bible says that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, you cannot partner with God to do anything productive eternally without the Holy Ghost. So God had to, immediately Jesus sat, the rod of his strength, the capsule of the essence of the mortal God, had to travel from heaven. And he came, like I said to us, he came not just as a rod of strength, he moved his throne into the earth realm.
And then he began to seek for the hearts of men where that throne could be established. So when we pray in tongues, we don't pray with our energies, we pray by the supplies of that throne. That's how he helps our infirmities. That throne in Hebrews is called the throne of grace, the throne that governs all the realities of the Christ. So the seated here tonight, for as many as have come into the understanding of the operations of that throne, are those who can match Jesus the Christ in prayers. Because of his fullness we have received all his prayer capacities. When Jesus was going to go to the cross, one of the things that he demonstrated to the cross was a prayer partnership to see that all that heaven wanted to do was possible. I guarantee you that if you will lean on that supply, we will be able to partner effectively with what God is doing in the earth realm. There is no weak Christian. There may be a weak church goer, but there is no weak Christian. You just have Christians who have not known how to engage that which has been installed in them. You can have a phone, and because you are not so tech savvy, all you may be doing with your phone is what you used to do with your old phone, to send text messages and make phone calls. You never knew that your assignments could be done from your phone. You didn't know that there were books you didn't need to go and buy again. You just had to download them. Your data will expire without function. That's how most of us are operating. But my plea tonight, as we begin to discuss the subject of revival, is that it is time to switch on that facility. You will be shocked at who you are. The days of the inability to hear God and communicate effectively with God will be over the day we switch on that facility. Because for such assignments was the Holy Ghost sent. I understand the feeling of helplessness. I understand. I was designed to be weak. The devil almost took my life at age one. On the night of my first birthday, I was in the hospital. Maybe they saw something. But because he gave me life, some devils have to relocate because you came. I said in Ibadan yesterday, I said one of my dreams, if you say what is my ambition, is that I explore all the riches of grace. That when we check that environment called grace, there will be nothing left that I've not explored before he calls me home. I told them yesterday, I said on the average, I still have like 60 to 70 years. And it will not be spent in weakness, because I have seen our fathers who have engaged God to the fullness. They went to death. They transited still useful. They were not liabilities. Caleb rose in scriptures. He said 40 years ago, God promised me this. I'm still as strong as I was 40 years ago. That was the mystery that Moses walked in. That as your days are, so shall your strength be. So if you factor your days as years, it means you should be stronger at 120 than 20. 120. In case you gave your life to Christ at 20, we expect that by 120, under your belt, you should have 100 years of interacting with that facility called the throne of grace. You will not only at that time be drawing for your spirit, you will know that in that facility you can draw for your body. Jesus was not sick. He didn't know how to be tired. He was resting, but he was obsessed with God's work. I have some clothes that I love so much. You know them. I overwear them. But because I overwear them, I overcare for them. So when a man donates his life to God to spend, God guards them. That's what Apostle spoke about at the convergence, as the jealousy of God. God knows that you are an asset to him. You know, Ezekiah placed a demand on that dimension. He says, you want me to die now? If I go down to the world of the dead, so Kiloaku, you won't have a face here anymore, no praise. And instantly the Lord said to the prophet, you will look like a fake prophet, but you will do this one. Go back and tell him, I will measure more years to him. There must be some dedication that you can flip at God when life happens. But that's not where I want to start, you know. I've not started the sermon. I feel like praying. But we'll talk a little and then pray. In case you are tired. No. Remember the words of Zechariah, that in that day, the one that is feeble among them shall be as David. The weakest shall be as David. And then in the congregation of the feeble who are as David will be as God. And so if there's anything we're advertising now, we have not seen that dimension. The weakest of us now is weaker than a witch. Abina. Some people's hearts are weaker than cockroaches, because if a cockroach flies, they don't know a cockroach is flying. If they fly, they run tongues and the blood of Jesus are the cockroach. But in that day, spirits will literally leave territories because an army is advancing. Now, I don't say these things to whet your appetite. There are realities I've seen in the spirit, that a day will come where we'll not need to speak because we came. In the name of the Lord, because the Bible says blessed, there is an empowerment to prosper that hangs upon the life of the one who goes in the name of the Lord. When we get locked into our mandates and we come into territories, the territories will open by their own volition, like the gates of Jerusalem to Peter, accompanied by that guardian angel, because there's work to do. That's how I enter city. So when I got to my accommodation in the Badon yesterday, and they said, you eat, you, I said, eat and bath. No, don't worry. I need like 3 hours to prepare for the meeting. And all I was saying to God was, we've not done much of ministry in this town. Open it up. Many years ago, we prayed that prayer in Ilorin. And Ilorin is, when I go to minister in Ilorin, I minister like here. Because to the glory of God, that which hangs in the atmosphere in Ilorin already knows that God sent a man. He lives in Ogbomoso, but he was sent to Ilorin. And that's how you come into regions. Those going for service, that's how we will send you. So before you go for service, we'll send you forth properly, like missiles. You go there and you explode. You go like suicide bombers. Bomb the place, set it on fire, and after 12 months, you can come back home. The days that we send people for youth service and they come back weaker than they went, those days are over. It's not the design of God. Or you go on holidays and you come back and then you can't pray again. You go back home, you collide with more. You come back and then we become more. Now the Lord wants me to begin a sermon series, the revival or revival. This will be our sermon series into the 70 hours prayers. And throughout the 70 hours, on the Sundays, I'll be sharing a little on revival and then we'll pray. However, the Lord will have me to bring something to our notice that I believe is very expedient. Now we'll be done with that so that we can press into that which the Lord wants us to do. There is a demand, or one of the demands of a revival, aside prayers, is that men come into accurate existence. I shared at the leaders' meeting on on Wednesday, and I think I also said on Tuesday that our precision has to do with accuracy in action and being in synchrony as far as time is concerned. So it is like I invite you for a meeting at 3 Precision means that you decided to heed the invitation and you showed up at 3. The nature of spirits is not too well understood as such. When God invites men, men come or men yield to divine invitations based on convenience. And that is why many times we have missed God. I have shared with us that, you see, the diabolic dimension understands the precision of spirits. So in case you came from a diabolic family and at a time they put a pot on your head and they told you to go to the city square and carry the pot at 3 a.m. you will rather be walking around than sleep. Because if you arrive at the city center at 3:01, you know that something will happen to you. It is not because that realm is evil. It is because the nature of spirits is that they be precise. Now, when a man wants to operate with God, you must understand the mysteries of precision. It is that if God invites for 3 a.m. Now, I'm saying this with a lot of humility because many times we enjoy God's mercies. However, as you go up the ladder in God, as you crave for more, the rules are more stringent. The rules are more strict. As you begin to do business on planes, layers of the spirit realm that can be called like immortal layers, you will understand the shape of the spirit realm. That one of the first things that defines the operations of the spirit realm is that it is a legalistic realm. And so when it comes to a legal environment, you have to be precise or you will have good intentions and you will come back with negative feedbacks. For example, in scriptures, a man lost his throne because he ruled the law of precision. Samuel said, "Wait for me till I come." Now, Saul was waiting, but he got to a point where he felt that Samuel had come late. And the Philistines were coming upon them. Saul had not understood that because Samuel said wait, it was impossible for the Philistines to come. Because even in that realm, the devil obeys the legalities of that realm. So when you go to the book of Job, Job 1 and 2 informs me that the devil cannot afflict me to the degree of what he wants. God always draws boundaries. So God said, touch 1 and 2. Take away those things. But this one, don't touch. Okay, you think he's still faithful. Make progress. Touch that thing again. The devil is not in control. He's still a servant of God. That's why the opposite of God is not devil. If anybody is serving Satan, my ranking is still higher. Because they are no opposites. God is in a class of his own. No man is in that class. Even Jesus, when he took upon a human body, as sinless as he was, saw equality with God. He didn't count it robbery. Allowed God take his place. There are certain satanic teachings in the body now that overrate man. I saw one yesterday. He said, Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And then the guy said to himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I said, oh God, this is sacrilege. Where to where? This overrated existence. You are not in the class of God. And many times I said to I shared it online yesterday when I was coming from Lagos. I said, when a man has not been to the throne, there are things you can see. When you encounter God's throne, you come back humble. The shape of the throne itself makes you humble. You know, John was an apostle. And when Jesus was going to commit his revelation that God gave to him to show to the churches, he went through John. But John blocked an entity in eternity. A And with the glories that he came with, John fell down to worship him. It was not God John met, though. He fell down to worship him. Now that entity now said, John, don't worship me. He said, I am one of your brethren. It means John met probably one of the saints made perfect. And what he saw made him think that with the glories on you, let's worship you. When Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, did you not see what Holy Peter decided to do? Saint Peter decided to do. He said, in this glory, Jesus must be equal to, that's the Zeroed law, Jesus must be equal to Moses, and Moses equal to Elijah, which means Elijah is also equal to Jesus. Let us build 3 tabernacles for them. Let's give them equal importance. And God had to say, well, these are glorified men, but they are not in the class of my son. So the Bible said the cloud came. It was not a rain cloud. It's the cloud in Hebrews chapter 12. The rest of the witnesses had to come and veil them and said, this is the one you must see. So the voice that came at the baptismal pool of Jesus had to return again. And that's what will happen in the church. The cloud will come and envelope men. It will envelope some of them while they are still alive. It will take some of them to heaven, so that only Jesus can be seen. You are not the way, you are not the truth, you are not the life. What do you think truth is? You mean you are an embodiment of all of the realities of God? So it means that Paul lied to us in Colossians that it has pleased the Father that in him should dwell bodily the fullness of God, and our completeness is in him. We are not him. We need to be careful. So I was speaking of precision. We have to be sharp. You know, I also said yesterday that, you see, when you begin to ascend this realm and you begin to deal with entities from that realm, especially when you're relating with the Holy Spirit, you should trust God to school you in the courses that you should engage to relate with the Holy Spirit. It can be friendly, it can be angry, it can be grieved. Abina. So when all you know about the Holy Spirit is the wind of God, it's the wind of God, you know. It's not just a wind, it's a personality. You can't be anyhow in his presence. You can't be. So we can start well. God said something to me, you know, when Kende was ministering. He said to me, he said, son, you need to teach your leaders to understand that every time they bring ministry, whether it's a prayer, whether it's an announcement, or you're coordinating testimonies, when they bring ministry, ministry is actually construction works. Our words don't matter until God can live inside it. He said you must teach them to lay block on block, or block on mortar on block, so that with the little time they have, I will be able to occupy their slot. One of the reasons why God is not experienced throughout, if he comes at all, may not be experienced throughout a service, is because the guy who started prayers may have built accurately. The person who led prayers may have built accurately. The person who comes to do the assignment may not think that what he's doing is important, so it may come casually. And so because of his inaccuracy in his slot, God is lost and may not be found in that service again. I said to us last week, when God starts to come to church, we will begin to be careful to guard the presence, because we have not known how God comes to church. The day he comes, the priests will be sacked. The presence is the glory of God, or the presence of God has a self-running operating system that does not need man. You can, when he comes, you can only align, and then he's carrying you. If you resist it, the day a pastor's worship comes and the pastor says, I prepared the sermon, and says, in Jesus' name I pray, it may be the last day we speak. Ask Zechariah when you meet him. It was not God that came, it was an angel. But the Bible calls them ministering spirits. Zechariah did not know the right courtesies to observe when relating with such kind of spirits. Maybe he had met a few because he was a priest, but he had not met one that stood in the presence of God. Those are the prince of spirits. So Gabriel had to introduce himself. That see, I'm not one of those guys. We have 9 classes. I sit on the top of that angelic cater. I am Gabriel, and my place is not in Iran. I'm not the guardian angel of Iraq. I stand in the presence of God. My location is that I look at God face to face. I brought a testimony to you, and you are trying to rationalize it. You will not be able to speak until my words come to pass. And I said to us, he did not receive that permission from God to punish him. The man went dumb instantly. It is better to dwell on this plane. The higher you go, that's why sometimes, you know, when I relate with people feel you are hard. And it is because you may not sense it, but your house is shifting. And so we must keep bringing, updating people with knowledge that where we are going, you can't behave like this. When they grumbled in Egypt, the trouble is much. What did God do? He came to save them. When they grumbled in the wilderness, God came to punish them. When they grumbled at Kadesh Barnea, God decided you will not enter the rest. It was the same reaction, but because of their current location, God was dealing with them differently. Bring into the revelation of that song. If you understand that song, you will be more careful to relate with God. Now, I'm not painting fear in your heart. There is a place I'm going. It is to make you know that when you relate with an entity who is self-deciding, that's what the English word sovereign God is, a God who is governed only by himself. He does not need a council meeting to do what he wants to do. If he comes today to make a promise to you and comes tomorrow to cancel the promise, if there is no law court you can go to and say that he lied to you. When you relate with that kind of God, it should fuel reverence, but you also fuel the knowledge of your inadequacy. So you must begin to pant for partnership with the one who knows his mind. That is one of the areas where we need this spirit, because he's the spirit of God. He knows the emotional. God can be emotional, and because the Bible says he was wrath, that means he can be angry. When the nations began to rage in Psalms chapter 2, what did he do? The Bible says he laughed them to derision. If you have watched Night of a Thousand Laughs before, when you laugh and you're almost falling down your chair, that's laughter to derision. It means you take laughter to the highest form. It's me now. He can be grieved. Genesis chapter 6, he grieved God that he had made man. And you see, Old Testament may have changed to New Testament, but God did not change. And in case you want to interpret him based on testamental movements, he said, I am the Lord, I changed not. Let it be an eternal testimony that I don't increase, I don't reduce. You can't alter my properties, because today you can alter them. I'm not God again. One of the things that is marketed or advertised in the Godhead is the stability of existence. So when a man begins to see that he is, as a mortal, an entity laden with all kinds of variableness. When your engagement is with the immortal who cannot change, you need to look for, to seek partnership with an entity that is also not variable, so that your relationship with the one who cannot change is forged by one who cannot change. I'm sharing this because, you see, there is a lot, there is a craving to please God in our generation. But I want to say again that you cannot please God from your soul. The soul is not given that ability to know what is in the mind of God. And it is in the nature of spirits that you can only please a spirit if you have access to his mind. When we come to pray, we cannot effectively pray. And Bible said there is a ought in prayer. There is a standard. That's what it means for prayer. So maybe we think that when we gather together, just begin to pray, and everybody's just praying. You can say anything in prayer. But if you are the kind that understands the feedback system, even in praying in tongues, you know that most of praying is waste of time. Until you switch to the mode of him who can enable you to fulfill the calibrations of prayer. The disciples saw that they were praying, guys, too. John's disciples were praying too. John must have taught his disciples, he definitely did, taught them to pray. And these guys were praying too, but they must have matched the results of Jesus with their own results. I'm sure it must have been a concern amidst them. What should we do? What should we do? Maybe Peter, the vocal one, must have said, let's ask him. Oh God, there is a way you relate with your heavenly Father. I hope you know that even before Jesus went to the cross, God had already become the father of the disciples. And so for those who think that this born again thing happened in dispensations, you are lying to yourself. He said to them, he said, I go to my Father and your Father. When he taught them to pray in Matthew 6, that was early in the ministry, he said, this is how you should pray. Our Father. God was already their Father in Matthew 6. Because the key to being born again is to believe in him. They left everything to follow him because of a belief they had. And at that point, they were saved. These signs shall follow them that believe. They were already demonstrating the signs now. They demonstrated it to a point that Jesus said, I even saw the devil fall like lightning. They were that potent even when he was alive. And let's not go there today. The thing is fading small, small. It's just that they are rebranding it. It's a virus that is mutating. God is one step ahead. He's light years ahead of it. The scripture is replete with a lot of doctrinal background to throw those things out. But what I'm saying is, every one of us in this season and forth, you must seek to partner with the Holy Ghost more than before. You cannot please God based on your assumption. God can only be pleased by the counsels of the Spirit. So I said, precision is a slave to inquiry. If you have not learned how to ask the Holy Ghost questions, you will be a friend of Satan all your life. You don't know a believer can be a friend of Satan. You can't. Ultimately, in eternity, there are just two flows. There's God, right? And there's the devil. From the beginning, there were only two kinds of children that were born. Cain was called of Satan. I don't want to go into it because I stumbled on a study this afternoon, and my God, let me not sound controversial. How did they call Cain of Satan? Where did Cain get the hatred from that made him kill Abel? Have you bothered to ask yourself? What did God say to the serpent? I'll put enmity between and the seed of, you know, between you and the woman first, and then between your seed and the seed of the woman. So the woman gave birth to two children, right? And one was already looking for how to kill one. And now scriptures tells us that Cain was of Satan. So how was Satan born? How was Cain born? And because if you go to Genesis chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible said, in one funny translation I read this afternoon, Bible said, and what was your own reading? Let me know. Good. That one sounds very wrong. 4:1. I'm just building up something. It's the Holy Ghost I'm speaking about. Oh, this is a matured one. He said, Adam knew his wife. If you hear that one, you will drop the Bible and run away. See that. God bless you. And Adam knew his wife, and then they bear a son, right? What's the name of the son? Cain. Now, if you have maybe an alphabet attached to your Cain, it gives you the ability to know the meaning of the name Cain. So what does Cain mean then? Okay, now, you gave birth to a son, and you called your son acquired. What does he mean? That's what it means. Acquired. Why will you give birth to a son? You should say begotten. God will give us wisdom. There was a technology that gave birth to Cain, and it was similar to the technology that gave birth to the Christ. What gave birth to the Christ? It was a communication. Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. And then he was conceived. When corruption came, what battered corruption? It was a communication. Eve went into a discussion. And God said, this one is a child of Satan. So even Adam said, I know I knew my wife, but we acquired this one. God will give us wisdom. So we know why they were trying to kill themselves even from the beginning. And we know who the descendants of Cain are. Evil was perpetual in that lineage. If you understand that, you will understand Genesis 6. I won't go there. The Nephilim theory. You were working on that sometimes. You understand Genesis 6. Who the sons of God are, who the daughters of men are. Let's leave it. Where I'm going is to make you know that you must be a slave of inquiry. Always ask. I have normal prayer times where I just pray, but I have instructed prayer times, and they are more than my normal prayer times. That the Holy Ghost just said, come. And then it facilitates prayer. I have regular study times, but they are not as deep, they are not as inspiring as the invitations. When I get to the motor park, I'm always at a fix. Lord, which one? Bus, car, this park, another park. So sometimes the people can get angry. But I've learned to kneel, to lean. Because the day you go in the strength of your soul, you can come back with broken hands and broken legs. And it will not be that God did not know how to protect you. Is that you felt too confident in yourself, because the Bible says that Paul said we are not sufficient of ourselves to do these things. Our sufficiency is of God. You must be a slave to asking questions. That's what I'm saying to you. If you want to live precisely, if you want to please God, you must be a slave to asking questions. Holy Ghost, what will please the Father? The offering I give, the amount I give, is not communicated based on how much I have. It's communicated by the Holy Ghost. He tells me, stop that offering, go up. Sometimes he says, come down. And I am not emotional about those instructions. The normal thing is your offering is supposed to be increasing. He said, no, for this season, reduce it. That's what you should give. And I give it. And in case you think, no, I don't think about the offerings he tells me. I may not have money for everything, but he tells me to give a particular offering, he will provide it. I don't want that day to come where I will be able to go in my strength. You see, this strength, there is what we call human strength. But the design of human strength is that it will not signal you the day it will fail. Some of you have experienced the strength of these chairs that you are sitting on, right? You don't know. You are relaxed. You just get back and then it, no sign, no crack, nothing. Was it that your weight suddenly increased? That's how human strength is. And it's an abomination before God. So when Uriah touched, Uriah operated a soulish template. Hey, the ark is almost going to fall. He didn't know that there was a protocol for interacting with the ark. And whether the ark was falling or not, a man must not break that protocol. We need to know God, though. The reason why God has not come is that people have not learned how to interact with him. Because that lover God can become a killer God. When he came in the Acts of the Apostles, some things could not be done again. Everybody was afraid. They were saying all kinds of people to come to church. In the day that he comes, men will fear to step into church if they have not become aligned. We will literally have a purgatory outside church where people will first go and say, God, oh God, you know, I stole this week, I lied, I did all these things. Forgive me there before they come to church. We may almost revert to an Old Testament template where there is first a brazen altar before we come into the temple. That when your room becomes an altar, about me, you'll be afraid to go to that room because you know, hey, God is there, God is there. But a season comes when the knowledge of his glory shall fill the earth. So in that day, the inhabitants of the earth will learn wisdom. Because it means God will take you out anywhere. Partnership with the Spirit. Ask questions. Yoruba say Abirionu Kokinshino. You know, I apologize to my Igbo brothers who have complained that there's too much Yoruba in someone, so they cannot understand. I got a call like that from Imo State. If you ask, stand here at the crossroads, don't guess. Ask. There are people who know the ancient paths. Ask. God can be pleased. If there are no people, the Holy Ghost knows. The reason for all kinds of error from scriptures that people read, people try to explain scriptures with their mind. Your mind does not have that facility to see into the intents of God. You must have another mind. That's what the Bible says. Who had known the mind of God that he may instruct him? But the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not separate from the Holy Ghost. It is a facility in the Holy Ghost. So it's not a gift that God gives you and then he walks away. He stays with it. That mind will be deactivated the day you begin to grieve the Holy Spirit. Your Bible will look like complete spots. It's a plea. We avoid that utilize the office of the Spirit. We are weak because we will not lean on his strength. We are gullible to all kinds of things because we will not lean on his strength. We are confused. A Christian should not be able to say, I'm confused. You may not have an answer yet because sometimes you have to wait because of his nature. As a king spirit, he comes when he wants to come. But you will rather be in waiting rather than be in confusion. A Christian cannot be stranded. Your solutions may not have come. But you know that in your waited posture, you have the security of the one that you are waiting on. For him that shall come will come. We have given back to too many things in haste. We have created monsters. There are a lot of problems that we call afflictions of darkness now that are human orchestrated because we will not ask. Jesus said, up till this time you have asked me nothing, therefore ask that your joy may be full. It means the man who does not know how to ask can never experience the fullness of joy. So you can sing, in your presence there is fullness of joy. It's a statement. It will never be an experience. To the students amongst us, you cannot get to an exam hall and then you don't know what to do. And I'm saying you cannot. You don't have half Holy Ghost. You cannot. Say to your neighbor, you cannot. We are not gisting about abstract things here. A man in the Old Testament understood that facility, even though the fullness, you know, the Bible said it was in the fullness of time that God revealed his Son. So it means there were sprinkles of revelation until they came to the fullness of time. A man called Elisha will sit in his house and will say to the king of Israel, don't be afraid, don't do any war strategies, wait, let them start in Damascus. And when they finish in Damascus, say, they will follow that side. You come to this side, come behind them. He was a man in the Old Testament. So if we are the ones in the, because Elisha was not in the days of his power, we were born into the days of his power. The day of his power began at Pentecost. That's why Jesus said to them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. Following the order of Psalms chapter 110 verse 2, the Lord shall send for the rod of thy strength out of Zion, saying, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When you come, your revelation is where the day of power begins. And what you will see is willing people. You cannot survive even with fastings without the Holy Ghost. If you fast from your soul, you will reap corruption. Flesh there is not devil, it's soul supplier. If you give from your soul, you will give into poverty. Don't give out of all this whining. The mode of existence for the sons of God is being led by the Spirit. Bro, you can, there's no blessing you can advertise in church that will make me drop money in my pocket against his will, because he owns what I have. So when I climb a bike, I've become obsessed with it. And when I climb a bike, the bike man says 150, and I say, ah, is it because it's nice? Ah, he let you shoot. And I will tell him without even being conscious, see, Jesus was son. He said, Jesus will bow because my Lord Jesus will be my Lord. So if his money wants to finish, you see how his money can finish, have you? Tobacco dear Kofeton. He will release another subvention. It doesn't have to be at the end of the month, because it's his money and I'm accountable to him. Lean on the Spirit. Lean on the Spirit. For I will totally work with your Spirit. I will totally work with you. Spending my days in your presence, I will totally work with you. I will totally work with you. I close the opening, it's still an opening, by saying that the communications of God, like the communications of angel Gabriel to Mary, are not just informative, they are creative. Now that's what took me into that Cain being of Satan theory, that when God speaks, things are created. Sometimes you go to God and you say, how will I be able to do this thing? and he says, I will help you. Those utterances, I will help you, furnishes strength in, it creates strength in you. Sometimes what you want is a plan. What he gives is an enablement. Paul approached him and said, three times I spoke to the Lord about this thorn. Paul was looking for a way to evade the thorns. The Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient, so I give you grace instead of a way of escape. You don't know what you need. You cannot in human language articulate solutions or the right question to even ask. There was a decision that came up, and I had some calls, my brother and some of the people that we work with. And I said to my brother, I said, you know that it looks lucrative, but there is a way a man can see. I must see, I need the money, but I must see through the eyes of the spirit. So he said, what will you do? I said, I've already asked him. So are you, can you make the decision tomorrow? I said, I will wait till he talks to me. If he talks after 1 year, I will respond after 1 year. I will not rush him lest another spirit comes to supply me. No, I said, I'll wait. What if the opportunity passes? It means he's not interested. And there are questions you ask the Holy Ghost that he will not answer you till Jesus comes. It means, what does your concern have to do with me? There may be a brother here saying, Lord this sister, and every time you took the sister before God, God will say, Oshobo ministry. You say, Lord is this damsel issue we are discussing, and God will say, you will go to Oshobo, and then you bind. You see, when God loves you, he will help you to evade too many things. I am a testimony to the fact that if God loves a man and that man runs into all kinds of errors, it's not because God didn't show him mercy, it's because he was recalcitrant. He decided, I will not follow God. And because of love, God will say, Lord, so you have a little bit of problems, he will come and rescue you, but next time you will have learned. Is you can be free of errors. You can. Oh, what things we often forfeit. Oh, no, those you sing too fast. Oh, what needless pain we bear. The pain was needless. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. If you go to Yoruba church, that song, they will say, put drums. So they will be singing, what a friend we. And you see, that song in itself is instructing that some of the burdens you came with, they are needless burdens. It was because of your willful attitude that you got into trouble. Lean. Don't make a commitment that you will not decide on anything as small as leaving your house in the morning if it did not utter you. Can we make commitments as far as phone calls? You shouldn't pick every call. Some calls are traps. You shouldn't respond to everyone on WhatsApp. Some of them are traps. Lord, govern me. Can we spend like the next 2 minutes to make that commitment? Govern me. I submit to your government. The church is trying to run an eternal template from the soul. It will not work. The gates of hell will prevail if Jesus does not become the governor. We are programmed to fail except he mounts that throne.
Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you as King. Standing here in the midst of all, ha, we raise you up with our praise. Toska shabada koste halamua hate. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. Be my Lord. I'm not querying your salvation, but like my father said yesterday, after that day that you decided that Jesus should be your savior, there should be another day that you submit to his government and say, be my Lord, be my Lord. As you have sustained the consciousness that you cannot save yourself, there must also be the consciousness that the way of a man is not in him. You cannot govern yourself. You cannot run life, relationships, businesses, even your academics cannot be profitable without that person of the Spirit. We yield. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Thank you, Father. I had to go that far to speak about the Holy Ghost, because when you look at scriptures, you see a display of the intentions of God on the pages of scriptures. But there is something about that display. They are openly displayed, but they are hidden. To the intent that a man can read the letters of scripture and still not be able to come accurately into what God's intentions per season are. So we need the guidance of the Spirit to bring us into the unveilings of that which is God's intention. However, to secure that guidance, there are things that define our alignment so that that partnership can work. It is a call to a posture of existence, and is also a call to an action. I'll break it down. That God has given us the Bible puts a burden on us, and the burden is to unravel what God intended in scriptures. Because if we do not unlock God's intentions in scriptures, we will still not be able to partner with the Spirit to bring, to say to the word to come. And God will be excused of responsibility because he has given you a manual. It's like you buy a TV, you know, all this, what do they call those TVs they put inside the room? No testing. The no testing can come with, or you go to Sabo and buy a used TV. You don't know if it had been repaired, but there's nylon on it. And then most of those TVs come with manuals that are not in English. So when you get to your house, you're wondering, even the labeling on the TV is not in English. Is it white cable, or is this audio or video? So you can rush back to the man from whom you bought the TV. I said, I don't understand. If he wants to be brash, he will say, but there's a manual inside it. What he's saying is, no excuse, read the manual. But it's in Chinese, and that's how he came home.
is he supposed to translate it? So we have the word of God, but as much as we read scriptures, we need a facility to be able to understand what God's intentions are. Because now, as young as my friend is, we will not be excused that we don't know what God is asking us to do. It has been revealed unto you, scripture says, O son of man, what God requires of you. But a lot of people still move around carrying very massive Bibles, but never coming, always reading, but never coming to a knowledge of what God's intentions are. So he puts on us a weight, and that weight will require a partnership before we can fulfill the demands to unveil God's word. I spoke about one in the beginning. I said the Bible says that the secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. That should be in Psalms chapter 25, should be verse 15 or so. The secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. So when a man wants to live life to unveil what is God's counsel per seasons, you must have an attitude of reverence for God. That's one. One responsibility does he put on us is revealed to us in Proverbs chapter 25 verse 2. The Bible said it is the glory of God. Or it is, some translations put glory, then they bring honor. Actually the two words was the same word translated glory and honor. So we can say it is the glory of God that a thing be hidden. God demonstrates his glory in hiding things, even in plain sight. So somebody comes, or thieves come, and you have a bag of diamonds. If you have sand in front of your house, put a few stones. If it's sharp sand also glitters, right? Pour your diamond stones inside it. The thieves can walk over the diamond pieces and say, where's the diamond? Says, I don't have. Well, and then when they go, it's hidden, but it's in plain sight. Share with my cousin, and the first time I ministered in Nine Fest, not this last one, I wanted to bring to them what God had in mind for redemption. So I went to John 3:16. That was last thing. That means it was the first time in my life that I understood, for God so loved the world, and he did not read, for God so loved man, that the recovery in redemption in God's heart covered a scope wider than mankind. It was a recovery of everything that also rebelled against man when man fell. But immediately I said, God so loved the world. I said, wait, read, is it the world in your? It was as though I was reading it first time. I must have committed that verse to memory earlier than age 6. Because we started going to a Bible club at like 3 plus. There are things that's why I've been sharing. People say, I know you like studying scripture, study, but read. And when you read, don't read in your mind. If you read in your mind, when you get to familiar verses, what is in your mind that you will read? Read loud so that you will see what you have omitted. He prays for us. I said that on Tuesday. It's different from he prays with us. With his partnership. 4, absorbs responsibility. He does it by himself. It's the same error. Why people command angels and some people don't? Because some people believe that the ministering spirits minister to them. But what the word in scripture is not 2, it's 4. On behalf of. So Jesus was right where he said, I can ask my Father and he will send, because he was clothed with humanity. He couldn't say, Michael, show up now. He said, I will ask him. And the devil understood that legality. So every time you break down, you come back with feedbacks, the problem is, might not be instant. What did the devil say to him when he took him high? He said, he quoted Psalm 91, Abby.
Come down, jump down. He said he shall give his angels. His angels, he shall give. You can't bring them to take charge over you. There are simple scriptures that we have warped like that because we have not paid attention to details. Have and had can be the difference between truth and error. Therefore, Abi, just like now faith. But in case your translation is modernized, they will not use now again. They say therefore. So if there's a concept called now faith, it means there's also a spiritual concept called therefore faith. There's a brand of faith that is a therefore version. Just like there's a brand of faith that is a now version. We use semantics to bat revelation. But the Bible says no scriptures of private interpretation. Let's not go there. There are some things you don't talk about again. Just leave them there. But there's what we will tell our children. That this is scriptures. But some things we just allow it. It will go. But we owe a generation the truth. I share with a precious one sometimes. That building up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the spirit. That verse was not talking about building faith. So you don't pray in tongues to build faith. Maybe there's a concept like that. But that verse does not instruct that when you pray in tongues, faith will grow. When you pray in tongues, it's yourself that you are building up. So when you also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you see he that prayeth in unknown tongues edifies himself. He builds up himself. By the mouth of two or more witnesses, we have established doctrine. When God begins to invite us into subjects like revival, we need to be able to define clearly from the pages of scripture what is God's intent. We define that intent by coming to God with reverential fear, because it is only in that posture that we can accurately partner with the Spirit to reveal, to receive the unveiled secrets or the mysteries of God. Also, when God invites us, we must understand that God likes to hide things. And it is the honor of kings, crowned men in the Spirit, to unravel what God has hidden. Now, the crown is not a metal in the Spirit. It is actually a person. The crowning that makes man man, according to Genesis, according to Psalms chapter 8, is a person. Is a person of the Spirit. Is called the Spirit of glory. And the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visited him? You have made him a little lower than Elohim, but you have crowned him with the material for the crown. Is with glory. A person, the Holy Ghost. Is the advertisement of all that Christ is. He shall take of what is mine and he shall show it to you. The glory of God is the advertisement of the realities of God. So he's actually a person. Bible calls him the Spirit of glory. He's the same one that raised Jesus from the dead. I'm building up something. These are the two ways to effectively partner with God. It also means that you cannot define any terminology in God without the Holy Ghost. One of the things God wants me to do as we begin to speak of revival is to re-advertise the person of the Spirit. As I will may be able to reveal tonight, a revival only has three participating entities. Or participating, you must have the one that is going to be quickened, and then you must have a life
that must come into the quickened. So you have the quickener, and the quickener administers a life, which is the second part, and that life must effectively come into another, who is called the quickened. As we begin to cry out for revival now, the cry must come for those who desire a quickening. Men must cry out to God, like in the days of Seth. Lands must cry out. Anything that wants God must call for God before the revival comes. Now we know that when we must be able to clearly define what is the essence of the life with which we want God to quicken us. What's the life going to do? In what form is it going to come? Because you can cry and say, God, bring revival to our church, and your church goes from 500 to 3,000, or 120 to 3,000, like it happened in the early church. But you know that 3,000 created a problem. They almost lost their gospel. They almost lost their doctrine, because 3,000 will influence 120. So the Bible says there arose among them certain of the Christians, and they began to say, you are serving food, you are not serving these ones. So the apostles had to quickly manage that problem and create the office of the deaconry. He said, you can be serving tables, because the doctrine that the 3,000 brought was the doctrine of serving tables. That's what some churches have become. When they were 50, they had pure doctrine. It was Christ they were seeing. The day they became 2,000, they became baby care centers. They were became need meeting centers. The ministry of serving tables is one of the problems of expansion. You can lose your identity with crowd. And as I was studying the Acts of Apostles, I'm about to turn now. The Lord said to me, "Seed, look at the problems. Be careful what you pray for." Some churches attracted a diabolic dimension, because when they began to crave for crowd, the crowd came, but certain diabolic men came, and they came with their gods. There was a system on ground that was weak, that could not deal with the strength of the gods they brought. So the church became a shrine. It became a shrine. The pastor may not even know that has become a shrine, but the church can become a shrine, because people come, you know, to bow to God, but God cannot cohabit a building with a strange God. That's how weakness came. A lot of transactions went in the spirit, and then people sincerely come to worship a lesser God, not knowing that they are worshiping a lesser God. But what they discover, which is how you will know what you are worshiping, you ultimately become what you are worshiping. If I bring mammon into this house now, there's a way we can ship mammon here. You will discover, you will not hear Christ again. I said on Tuesday, you see, if you follow this part, there's a lot of money on the path. There's a lot of money. Our fathers have shown, but there's a lot of money. We know the days of one white shoe. We have heard the stories. And two trousers. What do you mean? And then one of the trousers was better than the other one. So God decided to attack the one trouser that was good, and they stole it, so it became one trouser. But when we look at the shoes they wear now and the cars they drive, we know that you can serve God. He didn't call you in vain to serve him. I can continue. Due season for all of us is different. It's different. When due season comes, Emmanuel, we will come out in style. Two of us and the rest will come out in style. So don't be in a hurry. But God wants to make sure that He has taken, like I shared in the Lord. Do you have that sermon? The making of saviors. Okay, I've not given you, and I didn't bring my phone again. So remind me, I will give somebody tomorrow so that they'll give it to you. I said the problem is, God will not give us kingdoms until He takes Babylon out of us, because you cannot use Babylon to rule Babylon. You cannot. That's why He's still saying, He will test you with some money. He can say, somebody can just give you maybe 500k now, I said that money, man, is for church, but no other person knows that it's for church. So you can also decide to be Ananias and Sapphira and say, nobody knows that. And that guy will not call church again. Let me take 200k at least, or let me take 150. 350 is still good money, not so. And that 350 could elongate your due season by 20 years. It's just 150 you took, it could be 20 years. So at 20 years, the person will now sit for that exam again. Lord, see my life, see my life. God will say, stay here, stay here, stay here. So he comes at 20 years. The Ram will say, let's show him mercy. Let's reduce the money. It's 50,000. He didn't know it was an exam. They give him money secretly again. He has not learned. He says, 50,000. I've suffered, though. Let me even pocket everything. He may die, never come into a deuce. Maybe his children will reap what he has done. That's how it happens. So don't elongate it. But whatever God will entrust you with, he will try you with it. I've had monies that I was, Lord, money, and then the money came. And then the Lord will say, that project. I say, Lord, okay, if I give all the money for the project, how will I pay the tithe? We say, that little money you have, take out the tithe of this one, out of that little money. And still pay it. It's not give it to, it's pay it. They are givings, they are payments in the kingdom. It's the pain that comes out of you that makes you know if it's giving or it's payment. In the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. When you go on the giving line, you know that there are times that you can give in pain. And because my Bible says, he that soweth in tears. This is all in scriptures. There's the dancing giving, and there's the sowing in tears. That one is payment. But God will try you on the two if you ever commit finance into your hand. We need to lean. Maybe that's all I'm going to say tonight. On the Holy Spirit. For navigation. So that what God intended is what we are praying for. Let me not go into that. So that what God intended is what we are praying for. It is not scars that people begin their journeys hearing God accurately. God says, arise and go to Lagos, and you obey him, you get to Lagos. And then when you stay in Lagos for 2 weeks, they say, why did you go to Lagos? What do you think you should do if I've left school? Go and get a job. So you begin to go from office to get a job. If the devil wants to trap you, you will get a job. So that the day God says, I brought you here to do ministry, you say, God, how can I do a ministry and a job? And God will leave you on the job. If he shows you mercy, he will come back after many years when you are old, and he will tell you, you have served Union Bank, you have retired from Union Bank, but you're working in Union Bank has not struck a chord in eternity. You are still an unprofitable servant after 30 years. But the Bible says it's good to bear for a man to bear his yoke when he's young. It's not that you cannot bear it when you are old. But the glory of the youth is in their strength. How much ministry do you want to do if you start ministry at 80? You can fast. The system has started to shut down. Will you begin to know God at 80? Oh Lord, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. That's the secret. In the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning, that's early, thou hast ordained the dew, thou hast the dew of thy youth. That's what God is doing. So, when the Holy Ghost begins to advertise to us these hidden mysteries of God that I said are in plain sight in scriptures, I'm just trying to read out for those writing, searching out what God intends for a season brings a burden for acquiring the right posture and a kingly responsibility in using our crowns, that installation of the Spirit of God to search out the counsel of God. As such, there is a call to begin to seek alignment with Him who sits upon the throne in our hearts. The Holy Ghost in that way is advertised as the governor of the saint. The saint is essentially one who has submitted himself to the government of Christ, and the governor of that realm is the Holy Ghost. He guides into all truth. He regulates the intensity of truth that you are exposed to by time. So in pursuit of revival, the Holy Ghost must first be known in deeper dimensions. We must be willing. I said online yesterday, I said the Holy Ghost is not just a speaking spirit. It's not just a communicating spirit. The church must know the Holy Ghost as the governing spirit. It doesn't just come to inform or come to enlighten or come to create or come to rescue or come to help. He optimizes those activities in an environment where he's seen as the governor, the final authority. Paul had a willingness to take the script, to take the gospel to all the parts of the world. So he said to the brethren, he said, we wanted to come, but the Spirit restrained us. Can the Holy Ghost restrain you from doing a good thing? No, because what we have known is that he can give you direction. It's sinful to talk like that. Now, when you want to say what is right, can he tell you don't say it? I've shared with us that maturity, one of the definitions of spiritual maturity, is not the ability to separate between good and bad. Children can do that. What is more difficult is between good and God, because good is not always God. So Anu can just be walking, and when he comes into their fellowship, he sees a sister who can pray. Anu wants a godly sister. I know you want an ungodly one. You want a godly one. He wants a godly sister. And maybe in his room, I don't know if he has such kind of ledgers. I know brothers in school that time used to have those ledgers where as they continue working with God, they begin to judge their level of work with God, and they begin to, you know, sketch the kind of sister they want. And who is a little bit taller than me. No, quite taller than me. I'm not too tall like that. So he can say, I want somebody that's exactly my height. Light. Fat, because he's slim. He's not thin, he's slim. Let the person be fat, but let the person be my height. I'm dark, let our children not be black. Let's have light children. Oh, I love to pray in tongues. I don't want a lady who be sleeping all night. I want one who can pray. If there's somebody in the crowd that is, I'm not prophesying, I'm just talking. I want one who can pray. I'm our fellowship Bible study, is it called? Coordinator. I want someone who knows scriptures. Now when I travel, they can still be doing devotion for my children. And then he begins to look around. And then he meets with that definition. And then who can come and say, Pastor, I found it. I found it. And then if I don't have eyes, I can come like that national prophet called Samuel. And says, this is the one. But Samuel was matured that even though he saw, he used all his navigatory tools. He was the national prophet. For you to see how limited Israel was, he was the national prophet, but he could not identify a king. Now, it was not that Samuel was not schooled in the spirit. We know why Samuel could not. God brought us into the gist that Samuel did not deploy discernment to look for the king. So the Bible, God said to him, see, man judged after the outward. What he was telling Samuel was, Samuel, you approached choosing a king as a man. If you switch into my mode, you'll be able to see inside. So Anu can argue with God and say, I'll marry the person. And if God does not show him mercy, if he marries that person, that private sister can be a sleeping, snoring sister. Because what is good is not always God. You may see one now that you don't even like the length of the gown. It's above the knee, and Anu hates that. Yes. He's a very modest brother. Say, don't paint anything. Don't paint anything. And the sister likes to paint. But maybe a warrior in the spirit. Maybe after marriage, you will have to beg her not to drag her gowns or skirts on the ground like my daughter Sunshine will drag most of the time. Maturity. Can he restrain you and say, this is good, but this is not me? If you can't pass that test, he will not trust you with too much. So we must come to the knowledge of the Holy Ghost in deeper dimensions. We must know him more than just being a communicating spirit to the governing spirit. Secondly, we must come to know the Holy Ghost as the manual for accurate existence. The Bible in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, walk in the spirit is a walking in the spirit is manual existence. The Holy Ghost becomes an environment that regulates and controls your motions. Walk in the spirit is like saying, operate your TV by the manual. Because when man fell, what God did was to withdraw the spirit, and everything lost its manual. Everything, that rat that used to come and eat your yam was not designed to come and be eating yam in your house. There was what rat was supposed, it became a rodent, a pest coming to steal from you the day the manual of the rat was withdrawn. See, the snake was not designing God to bite. I want to believe that his poisonous nature was as a result of the corruption that came to it. That now a snake bites a man and a man dies, that was not in the manual. The snake has lost his manual. I think there's a portion, it should be in Isaiah. I can't articulate well now. We used to pray over it when we're trusting God for revivals in schools. The Bible says a time will come. One of the most deadly snakes is called a cockatrice. That a child, a small child, will put his hand into the hole of the snake. It will not hurt the child. And then the wild animals will come, and it will be a child that will lead them. That gives us a picture of a season where the template, where the Holy Ghost as the manual for existence has been restored. In that day, maybe that, you know, these guys they call Essien. I'm not speaking evil of them. But that day, that, you know, the guys they call, we used to call them Essien. You know them now. That they sell these Ghanaians, all of them are Essien. That sell puff in the morning. That's what we used to call them, SM. At least SM is a Ghanaian. So that's what it's called. That day, when SM comes in the morning to sell puff to you, he may drop the thing on his head and never pick it again. Because he will realize that he was an apostle and he was not designed to sell puff. That's what happens when revival comes. Men suddenly have their eyes open because there is a recovery of the spirit. The manual comes back to earth. In that day, some pastors will resign and join the choir because they will know that I was designed to sing in the choir. I was not supposed to lead a church. A pastor will come on a Sunday morning in a revival and say, sorry, it was my soul that created this ministry. Go home, go to any other church, and he will go and become a floor member in another church because he has recovered his template. The Holy Ghost is Emmanuel. That in that day, everything that fell, everything that rebelled against man, will recover back their operating templates. In that day, the sun shall not smite anymore. In that day, the moon shall not lend itself to darkness so that they use them to make men mad. In that day, the lunatic will come out of his oppression. It will be a great day of deliverance because men will begin to break out of their shackles. The Bible says, awake, awake, captive daughter of Zion. Don't go for a deliverance service. Lose yourself from the bounds that are around you. Because with the knowledge of the truth comes freedom. That day, Emmanuel, you will know who you really are. You'll be able to stand like Jeremiah. Jeremiah came from a clan of priests. He was a Levite, but God said, no, you will not follow the Levitical order. You are a prophet to the nations. By the mercies of God, he spied into his manner. Jesus will have lived life anyhow, but because he sustained manual existence, they gave him a whole book, and he could not miss out on where it was written concerning him. In that day, you will open scriptures and you will find yourself because the Spirit has returned. That's a revival. We must begin to know. And one way to precipitate that day is that when you leave here tonight, you abandon yourself to the manual of your existence and say, show me where I fit into the plan. What part of eternity, what part of the eternal counsels of God was I created to fit into? You think that all of us must hear clearly. I was ministering yesterday on a recovery of the abilities to sense God. And I looked at a lady and said, you are the eye, you are the eye, you are the eye, you are the eye. You are struggling to hear God, but you already have visions. That's what God wants to work with. A young man came to me, and as he stood in front of me, I saw priestly garments, but old ones. And I said to him, you come from a line of pastors, but they are mantles that are lying fallow in your pastoral line that God wants to put on you. Who is your father? He said, my dad is the pastor of a Baptist church. I said, fine. Who was your grandfather? He said, he was a farmer. I said, Kai, the clothes are old. It means there were things that your grandfather left for agriculture. What are you studying now? He said, I'm in the Oyo State School of Agri. I said, there is a calling over your life. He said, is this a Greek thing I want to do? And I began to pray in my spirit because he was about to take on the template of his grandfather. But in that day, the manner will be visible. When Jesus walked upon the earth, he was a walking manual. He picked on an idol Nathanael and converted him to an apostle. He picked on fishermen. They had been trained. They knew how to fish. But in that day, you will hear a lot of follow me, follow me, follow me. Matthew felt that his lot was to be a tax collector. He was a master tax collector. But when Jesus came, he snapped him out by reconnecting him to the original mode and said, follow me. In that day, your certificates will not define who you are. The kind of your antecedents, the kind of families, no matter the problems they have, will not matter when the Spirit comes. For until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, what we call a wasteland in that day will become a forest, and that which we call a forest will be called a fruitful field. This is our cry, that the Holy Ghost, the manual of creation, will return. He hovered over the mess. He hovered over the mess. And I assure you that before the clouds part and Jesus comes, he will hover again to recreate. I would have been lost in some oil company, not knowing that there was a crafting for apostolic ministry in me. But he showed me mercy. From tonight, a foretaste of that generation will rise up from here. That man will begin by interactions with the Spirit to come into the ordinations in God. We have lived lives like mere men, but Scripture says, are ye not gods and sons of the Most High? In that day, the conductor will see that his ability to get people into the bus was actually an evangelistic function. In that day, Kamana Bosatai. Let the manual return. Let the days of our servitude be cut short. Return, oh beautiful one. Return that we may look upon thee. Oh Shulamite, Kamealabo Sakata. Return. Shekola de Belekela Balatata. Erape Papa. We make a demand for the return of the manual of our existence. I kaka baratas. Iete melatapa. Iagabate de veke de baraka tabaya de base. That the least of us will be as strong as David. That the house of David will be as God and as the angel of the Lord. Weakness has been advertised, but in that day, men of stature, men of might, men of strength, warriors will arise amidst us. Who said that it belongs to darkness, the sons of light will emerge. The sons of light will emerge. We call them forth. Let the manual return. Ebrade parademos shakabada balada bayalade prepelato raka palaba 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 ya puatas e palonte maswate la boca montes imanano lebo sahata bababakos. Oh, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I have prayed. I will not go beyond here tonight, because I sense that, watch this, there is a progression to every revival. We miss it if we feel that the revival will begin on a congregational level. We miss it. What God will do will begin first from individuals. That's what I meant when I said there will be a foretaste generation. What the foretaste generation experiences is that every time God wants to do something on a congregational scale, he will make them guinea pigs. He will first back test that new technology on them. And you can sign up tonight as a foretaste generation. There are two ways you can come into the revival. You can wait until the whole church comes into it. Now listen. What I'm saying, I'm advertising the Holy Spirit. And my advertisements are carefully chosen, because these advertisements are the ways in which He shows up in a revival. Do
we have our Greek students in? So they taught you MBK, right? Abina, you are not in our Greek. Are you in engineering? Statistics. Ah, seriously. They taught you that when the land is when the nutrients in the land is used up, you do things like MPK. That's not the template. MPK creation as artificial fertilizer, even using manure, was not part of the template. The template was that the man God created had capacity to replenish. The word plenish means value. So to replenish means to bring back value. The template is that you can stand and walk into the farm and speak to the earth, because everything God created has ears. I'll get there next week. The Bible says God will respond. When earth cries out in prayer, God will first respond. And when God hears, earth will hear. And when earth hears, the corn will respond. Sit down, sit down. Robbie Odu, this is for you. God will in that which you are doing now, you know, we discussed your return to that place. He will use the projects that he will commit into your hand. Mr. Tao, stand up. I think we should tap into that. Stand up too. He will use your farms to demo test this technology. I shared with you that when Laban wanted to cheat Jacob in his soul devised a means. He said, let me not rob you. I've worked for you for a long time. Don't pay me. You see, any animal that is one color is your own. Any animal that is two colors, for the new ones that will be birthed, is my own. So Laban, knowing that technology of coloration, the Bible said he took all the multicolored, the speckled ones, the ringed animals, and took them a 3 days journey. Now a 3 days journey means they were so far away that if you ever encounter those animals, you will travel for 3 days. In that way, all that was remaining on the ground were one color. Jacob's inheritance, his payment, was that these one colored creatures give birth to ring-staked and dual colored animals. It was literally impossible. So Jacob went and took poplar trees. The Bible said he built them and placed them at the trench where they drank. Now follow me. Scripture says, and as they drank, they conceived. Now there are two things that could have happened. One was that the rams that mounted the sheep mounted them when they were drinking water, which is a possibility. But I didn't understand that was not what scripture was saying until Laban came a few chapters later and saw that Jacob still had so much. And Jacob said, you didn't treat me well. You would even rather have killed me if not for the God of Abraham. That's what I was saying last week. And introduced the God of Isaac as the dread of Isaac. He protected me from you. So he looked at the daughters and said, I didn't steal from your father. He says, for an angel of the Lord appeared to me in the night and said, lift up your eyes, Jacob. And he saw multicolored rams in the spirit mounting the sheep. So they did not give birth by physical mountings. The rams in the spirit, there are a lot of things we don't know. You know, God has restrained me from teaching all these spiritual things. He just teaches me, because they will say that I'm trying to make a balance out of you. Because what you call a wedu is not a wedu to Babalawo. There is a name he calls it that makes it release spiritual energies. Because God created everything after their kind. It means that if you see a ram physically, there's a counterpart in the spirit.
and you can invoke energies on a physical realm by tapping into its original in the spirit. Bible says these are the generations of the heavens. It means earth is a descendant of heaven. So Jesus, in teaching us to realign earth with the original manner, he said, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It has been corrupted, but in prayers you can change it. That's the prayer we're praying now. What God will do with the farms you are handling from tomorrow, I want you to begin to demo test this template. And for every other farmer in the house, this unction is on you. I want you to go to those farms, and as God lays in your heart, speak over them. Speak over them. Man was designed to replenish the earth. We must not just learn, we must go out and do something. Speak that the harvest in your farms will be extraordinary. Whatever you want, as the Lord lays it in your heart, it creates a desire. Speak it. If there's any business person here, when you get to work tomorrow, don't limit yourself to, okay, when I make this, this is what comes out of it. I know certain lady that a cup of flour can make a few meat pies, but I also know that one cruse of oil can keep filling things. I know that you can survive a 3-year famine with little flour. It was said of a son that worked in Benin when the cathedral was being built, and they called him and said, sir, we have run out of money, the gravel has finished. And Benson the house looked at the gravel and said, gravel don't finish. They built that house with the gravel that he created out of his utterances. Those were sons that walked upon this land. They cried out, they said, we are not slaves to anyone. That's what the Jews said to Jesus. We are sons of Abraham. Jesus said, if you indeed are sons of Abraham, then do the works of your father. If we are sons of people like Benson Daosa, in a lifetime their results must be reproducible. For God is not a respecter of persons. We have heard stories of a church that was going to be demolished, I think in East Asia, because the church was built close to the road. They were going to expand the road, and they said certain men came and laid their hands on the wall of the church, and they prayed, and the church began to shift. Come on. I have read stories online of a church that was struggling to build, and they ran out of timber to roof the church, and the rains were coming. And then they began to pray, and all of a sudden they started hearing sounds at the backyard. By the time they got out, it was a large stack of timber. If it can rain manna, it can rain the resources that we need. Are you struggling with your academics? Your academics runs a template in God. What you are trying to study in school is a recovery of the template. But there is him who is called the template of all knowledge. He was the first engineer. He was the first surgeon. He was the first farmer. You can ask that the template will return. Oh, return to us. Return to us. Can we begin to make a few more demands on God? Return! Let the manual of our existence return. Shatita petaka popla tokas paparata pipala reko pepe yape kataba ika pesatas iaba pako pletos sete kombala tuakanda paparadas imala kapapala kates. We ask that Emmanuel will come. The manual will come. The manual will come. Holy Ghost,
Return to your rest. Now arise, O God. Come to your resting place. You and the ark of your might. We make a demand for the release of the Spirit as a manner for total existence. Let the manner for profitable relationships come. Let the manner for profitable financial existence return. Let the manner for academic excellence return. Our scriptures not said that there is a spirit in man and inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Return. O konaberalo, woma pola kuba kala, bara papa la toala baba baka, iba pepele ko papa yate. We cry, return, return, that we may look upon thee. Return, that we may look upon thee. Oh, let the Spirit return. Shelter mekata pata. We repent for driving you out of our lives. We engage your partnership in seeing heaven come to earth, that the days, our days, shall be as the days of heaven upon the earth. Ah, a city cries out for revival. Atata, wa rakwaba, bapopola. Baka baba ipope peke bere popotaka batoskete 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 betekete papala squala. Oh, refrain not thyself from us. Refrain not thyself from us. Let the manner for ministry be released. You are the spirit of ministry. You are the spirit of ministry. You are the spirit of ministry all over this city. Come, come, come. You are the spirit of power. Let the manners of power come. You are the spirit of glory. Let there be an unveiling of the pathways to glory. You are the spirit of prayer. Let the pathways of prayer be unveiled. You are the spirit of revival. Yakolo lo lo polo kapabwas. Bekele mi polate. Thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. I make this final statement tonight. I make this final statement tonight. That one of the definitions of revival is the return of the Spirit. One of the definitions of revival is the return of the Spirit. And when He comes, one of the revelations of the Spirit in His comings in a revival is that He is the manual for existence. Oh, in my spirit, I'm seeing all kinds of conversions. Because that girl you call wayward, who will sleep with anything for money in that day, we know that there is a queen in her. That young man who has lent himself to drug addiction and alcohol abuse will know that there is an apostolic ordination upon his head. In that day, apostles will rise even from their palos. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God.
I believe. I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe your word is true. I believe there's so much I can do. I believe you said it in your word that settles it in the earth. Oh, I believe your word is true. Hey. I believe there's so much I can do. I believe you said it in your word that settles it in the earth. I believe. I believe, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I believe. Hey, yes, I believe. I believe. I believe. Share the other, Kaya, the other, Shani, Mata, Topea, the other,
glory to your name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Like I said in the beginning, the series Revival is a build up into and through the 70 hours of prayer. Watch this. Watch this. We did not choose 70 hours so that we can, I need you to listen, so that you can prepare your heart. I'm done. We did not choose 70 hours so that we can have a round figure. Some people have asked me, is it that you guys are getting tired? You did 200 hours last year and you came to 70. And I told him, man shall not live by bread alone, and but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I was praying in Makodi and God showed me a vision of a 70 man strong army. They were just 70. And the Lord told me to communicate quickly lest I lose interest, that we will have a 70 hour prayer meeting. For the first 22 days, it will be 5 to 8. And then on the last day, which is a Tuesday, we start at 4 so that we can do 4 to 8. So we clock our 70 hours. We'll be asking God for a revival. But God said, one of the first things He will do in response to us is that amidst us will rise 70 men of might. And the Lord told me that He will work that in each of those 70 men are 70 men. The spiritual capacities of the 70 put together will be 4,900 men. And He told me there will be an emergence of a 4,900 strong army in this city in 2 years. I believe God that in the next 2 years we will call for a prayer meeting and we will have almost a 5,000 man army, not trying to learn warfare, but that have gained mastery, have become swordsmen. It will give us grace for all kinds of exposure, but there will not be 4,900 weak men. There will be men like those that God has kept in the cave, who cannot, they have lost the ability to bow to Baal. That is the vision, but it will be born first by 70 men. And in case you doubt it, interactions have begun in the spirit, because hell cannot stop what is coming.
I said with all sense of boldness, there are things that you are dreaming will happen. I have seen the 4,900 man army in operation. They will come up like Joel's army. They will fall upon the sword, but they will not be hurt. There will be men under government that they will not break ranks. That's what God is building. In the day that they rise, my assignment will begin to wind up a little in the public. And then God can, because he has told me the nations too. He can begin to send us out to set other cities, other regions, other nations on fire. So I agreed with him. And my 2-year count will start from the 25th of this month. 2 years. I want you to avail yourself. We will not be able to sign up by will. God will choose amongst us. But I pleaded with him that in 70, let there be 69 remaining. I don't just want to lead the movement, I want to be part of it. I will not be just a Moses. I also want to be a Joshua who will come into the land. I don't want to see pictures. But it will be a brutal army. 4,900 men of might will change the face of church in this town. Because they will come from all kinds of churches. And they will literally go and set those churches on fire. So we will dedicate, as we ask for revival, God said in eternity, 1 hour of intercession will bring about the emergence of each one of them. That's why he said 70 hours. So we start on the 25th and begin the 3 hours like that. I want you to avail yourself. I'm trusting God that we will not be 12 of us praying. I will not be 70 praying. A lot will avail themselves. Even if you are not elected, by the grace that picks, you will not be a weakling. I believe God. So let us pray and plan to be part of that move. God has started answering our prayers from the last year prayer. One thing is that we did not die, because we were supposed to die. So we are still alive, so we answered. There were certain developments we pleaded with him we wanted in town, and has begun to pull them in. I know there's a lot more that's happening in the spirit than what we are seeing. But he has said, if you want a revival, this is the pathway. So let's follow it. When we have fulfilled obedience, God will come. God will come. Lautech will have a new name in that day. It was designed not to just be an academic institution. It was a shroud. It was supposed to be like a war college, where men of war, not just strong Christians, will be raised. In that day, his identity will be restored. Ogbomoso will again be a ground for manufacturing warriors. That is our part, our contribution to the body of Christ. In that day, the seminary will recover its lost manner. That men who have theology will not just rise from there, warriors will rise. Because Lautech came because they lost the manner there. Please plan to be part of it. Let's get seated. Finally, I want to solicit again. Pray for us. And God will grant us utterance. Don't pray that the enemy will not kill us. We will not die now. I exert myself, but I still feel very fresh. We will not die now. So I want you to keep praying for us, that doors of utterance. I perceive that one of the things God is doing is that when this movement gets to a high, it will begin to release us into other cities, set the cities on fire. So I'm trusting God that within the next 2 months, we'll have maybe 200 hours in the Lord, 200 hours in Oshogbo, 200 hours in Oyo, 200 hours in Shaki, and those areas will open up to God. Because the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So pray for us that God will grant us utterance.
I also want you to, in your prayers, it may be just 2 or 3 minutes every day, if that's all you can afford, pray for this work. Hell is fighting it. I just want you to know, hell is fighting it. We have a promise, but pray. Pray based on the promise. And our doors will still be open, and that we will keep doing damage to darkness like this for years. Thank you. The Lord bless you. So, who is closing the meeting? Are you? Good.
I'm sure you've been blessed by this message. Fellowship with us at His Worship Christian Center, HWCC. For the restaurant on Daji Odomosho, Oyo State, Nigeria. You can also join us to worship on our e-platforms, Facebook, www.facebook.com/ His Worship Christian Center, or join us on Twitter at HWCC Nigeria. God bless you.